This is your volunteer broadcast reader, Amanda Hoagland, bringing you another reading of Skipping Stones, a multicultural literary magazine that highlights children's writing. Today, we'll be reading poems from Skipping Stones that focus on the wonders of nature and the need to preserve it for generations yet to come. Our first poem, Under the Water, was written by Mayunk Yadav, age 12. Under the Water. Under the water, deep and wide, fish and turtles swim and glide. Crabs walk slowly on the sand. Jellyfish move like a magic band. Octopus hides behind a rock. Starfish sleeps near a seashell clock. Dolphins jump and play all day in the ocean, far away. Waves above and calm below. Under the sea, the magic flows. Seahorses float, so small and sweet. Tiny shells lie near their feet. Bright blue fish go zip and zoom, dancing gently in ocean's room. Come with me, let's take a ride to the SeaWorld deep inside. That was by Mayunk Yadav, age 12, from Jharkhand, India. He lives in the province of Jharkhand in an extended family with his father Ranjan, mother Kumari Sanjita, older sister Shreya Ranjan, grandfather Kendarnath, and grandmother Bina Devi. This next story was written by Abhir Dhruv Beniwal, age 7, from New Delhi, India. Ben and Chandra saved the city. One day, Ben and Chandra heard the trees talking. They said the city was in big trouble. Scarygon, the bad dragon, was back again. "Look out!" Chandra shouted as Scarygon flew high in the sky. "Oh no, not him!" Ben cried. Kaboom! Scarygon laughed and blew black smoke everywhere. People coughed and ran inside. Ah, ah, ah! Scarygon threw plastic bottles all over the place. "This is bad," Chandra said. "What do we do now?" "I know," said Ben. He took Chandra's hand and they ran to the science center. They needed help from the Spino Dino Mega Tribe. They lived on the third floor in a super secret lab. They raced up to exhibit number 10 and closed their eyes. "Kala, Mazoon, Gilly, Gilly, Boon," they shouted while rubbing their hands. Suddenly, Major Whitehorn, the Spinosaurus, and Captain Bluehorn, the Triceratops, came to life. "Hello, kids," said Captain Bluehorn. "The city needs us," Ben shouted. Major Whitehorn and Captain Bluehorn flew into the sky. All the kids in the city came out with seeds and water cans. The dinos sprinkled magic potion everywhere. The trees grew tall and strong, sucking up all the dirty air and plastic.
"You can't stop me," Scarygon roared,
but the trees didn't give up. Then it started to rain and the sky cleared up.
"We did it," cheered all the kids.
As the grown-ups came outside, the dinos began to disappear. Ben and Chandra watched as the dinos flew back to the science center and turned into statues again. Major Whitehorn smiled and said, "Always be kind to the planet. It's our only home." Ben and Chandra waved goodbye, feeling happy and proud to have helped their city. A bit about Abhir, the creative 7-year-old author who wrote that action-packed story. He enjoys playing in the park, climbing trees, swimming, theater, and yes, hugging trees too. Abhir sent this postcard to the Prime Minister of India, requesting action to curb the pollution. It reads, "Dear PM Modiji, please promise to help my best friends, Woody the tree, Arav, my BFF, and the birds too. We want clean air to play without Ma getting scared. Please help me." Our next poem, Is Convenience Worth the Last Drop?, was written by Michaela Gee, age 16. Is convenience worth the last drop? As we walk from the sea to earth, along paths carved by rapids long ago, it was Mother Nature's tears that nourished and raised our bodies, our cells, our kin who've begun to shape the earth with a boundless run. And yet we have forgotten our mother, who raised us through countless years, her lifeblood pure and versatile, now depleted, unwaveringly so. She gives us the sweetest fruits to savor, irrigates our crops to yield golden wheat, and builds the grand towers that power our homes. Yet we poison her roots, her veins, choking the motor, seizing the reins. Our pipes leak lacquered oil into her seas, from which we fish, then we eat. Steel succumbs, its strength turned frail by decay, her hands unearth truths time cannot betray. Empires crumble, bound by nature's say, and so I call upon you. My peers, future generations, and past, let us pause and remember.
the taste of water, sweet and crisp, the refreshing rain that quenches earth's thirst. Without water, no harvest will grow, no forest, no flowing seas, no us. Let us act before time discreetly seeps away, with hands that halt the careless streams and choices that honor the gift we've known, so the rhythm of life may endlessly flow, so that our cups will always be filled to the brim. Michaela Gee is Chinese Malaysian from New York. Michaela explores life's complexities through quiet reflection, capturing universal emotions in still moments, like gazing out a car window at the world rushing by. She's eager to share her voice and connect with readers. Our next poem, Elegy for the Fragile Universe, was written by William Pan, grade 7, from Washington. Elegy for the Fragile Universe. How will the world end? Will it end with alien settlers from another galaxy? Or will it be our own war-torn fault, the world's sparkling Hawaiian sunsets and buzzing Chinese streets melting and emptying any number of ways? Now that Earth has warmed like sand condensing into a fragile universe of glass, we are sturdy yet fragile. We scowl before we embrace. We pray between arguments while saving the world. Will we have to flee this green haven? Will we have to ribbon our faith into the carbon-filled air? Or shall we fit another planet more to our liking? Is any of this needed to save us? Will it stop us from existing? Or can we stop ourselves? Whether the world dies or not, we must cherish what we have. Whether the world succumbs to bots or we continue to laugh at movies and jokes with each day. Quick author's note from William. He writes, I wrote this poem because I realized that we need to unite to stop climate change from ruining our world. I've written many poems and short memoirs that explore culture and family. I'm drawn to poetry because I can play with language and build imaginative worlds that enable me to explore things I can't explore in the real world. William has recently joined us, Skipping Stones, as one of our student interns. Congratulations, William! Up next is Our Sun, a Ghazal poem written by 12-year-old Samir Soghani from California. Our Sun, a Ghazal poem. Everyone bows before a supreme force, our sun. Everyone, to live, relies on our sun, a beacon of hope to travelers on earth. When the moon is cast aside by our sun, it gives energy for greens to grow and thrive. No leaves, no air without our sun. Some myths call it a god burning bright. Others say even gods serve our sun. We know now it's not divine, just a flaming ball of gas. However, many still believe the myths that our sun is a god. Compared to some stars, it's barely a spark. Compared to others, colossal is our sun. Children say, my parents are like the sun. But even parents owe their life to the sun. We take for granted air, fire, and breath, each one a gift returned by our sun. Even scientists cannot grasp its full weight. Thousands of Earths would fit in our sun. One day, Samir, all will vanish into the emptiness of space. A bit about this young 12-year-old author from California, Samir Soghani is something he adds. I'm Indian-American. I speak English and Spanish, but I grew up listening to Hindi and Telugu at home. I've been very lucky to travel around the world with my family, from the ancient temples of Cambodia to the ruins of Machu Picchu. Everywhere I go, people are connected by the sun, and I wrote this poem to reflect on the impact of humans on nature and how we take the sun and earth for granted. I hope the readers leave with the desire to take better care of our natural resources before it is too late. The next poem we'll be reading is In a Winter Wonderland by Nila Abedian, age 11, from Washington. In a Winter Wonderland. The winter is here and there is snow. I hope for a white Christmas this year. It's freezing, the temperature is low. I want to go outside, but no, I forgot my jacket. Oh dear. The winter's here and there's snow. Through the windows I see Christmas trees that glow. Now is the time of good wishes and cheer. It's freezing, the temperature is low. The winter's here and there's snow. Sitting inside with hot chocolate, watching a holiday show. For me, winter is nothing to fear. Now, while we may not get much snow in some parts of the valley, no one can deny how Nelia makes us all wish for frostier days with her prose. Next is a story written by Dipankar Chanda from the Greater Toronto Area of Canada with art made by Michaela Liu called The Little Princess and the Colorful Butterflies. The Little Princess and the Colorful Butterflies. No one remembered the name of the kingdom anymore, but it did exist, long ago. Far, far away, nestled close to a forest, there was a tiny village, and it was the seat of this kingdom. There was a palace as well, but not like the ones in our big cities. This palace was very different. Its walls were made of straw and clay, it had a thatched roof, and it stood gently beneath the sky, like a well-kept secret. In this palace lived a little princess with her ancient grandmother. One sunny morning in spring, when a sweet breeze was blowing, birds were chirping joyfully, and flowers bloomed in every corner of the yard, the little princess woke up. She rubbed her eyes, looked out the window, and noticed something. Their little walls didn't seem as colorful as the world outside. The trees wore fresh green dresses. The flowers in the meadows sparkled with red, yellow, pink, and purple. Even the butterflies danced in colors, too bright and too many to name them here. The princess longed to bring those colors into their home, their palace. And she knew, like everyone else in the kingdom, that the true owners of all the colors were those beautiful butterflies. So, the little princess wanted to catch one, but she was far too little. No one else was home, so she turned to her granny. Now, her granny was like 80 or 100 years old, or maybe even more. Nobody really knew how old she was. She was the oldest person in the whole kingdom, and she was certainly far too old to run after those butterflies. What could they do? The old woman thought for a moment. Then she searched the hut carefully. Every corner, every pouch, every pot. Finally, she found what she was searching for. A little fistful of sunflower seeds. She smiled. Granny stepped outside into the wide, sleepy yard. With her slow, gentle feet, she planted the seeds in tidy rows and began to care for them. She watered them every day with all the love in her heart. Days passed. Little by little, green shoots appeared, then leaves, then came tall, strong stems. And then one morning, 1,000 sunflowers bloomed across the yard, each one like a small sun, shining with golden joy. Granny didn't need to chase butterflies anymore. The butterflies came to them, fluttering, dancing, and painting the air with their beautiful colors. And you know what? They shared their colors generously, and from them, true beauty arose on the boundless canvas of nature, born from careful sharing. And the little palace also sparkled with butterfly colors, reds, oranges, blues, and purples that no brush could ever copy. Not just the tiny palace, but also the little princess herself sparkled with those attractive colors. Her smile shone with every color of the butterflies. And from that day on, little princess learned that true beauty grows manyfold when we share it with everyone with profound care. Some information provided by the inspiring author, Dipankar Chanda, about himself is as follows. Dipankar Chanda is an emerging writer based in the Greater Toronto area of Canada. Originally from Bangladesh, he writes stories and poetry that bridges cultures, languages, and imagination. English is not his first language, and he brings the rhythm and depth of his native Bangla, also known as Bengali, language into his storytelling. The illustrator, 12-year-old Michaela Liu from Toronto, Canada, who drew a beautiful picture of a young princess with dark aquamarine-colored hair and a field surrounded by butterflies, also provided some information for curious readers. I've loved drawing since I was a child, and in the future, I hope to work in a field related to drawing or character design. Our next story, Precious Planet Earth, Our Only Home, was written by Aaron Narayan Toke, an editor for Skipping Stones. Precious Planet Earth, Our Only Home. Planet Earth, Our Only Home, has been around for about 4.6 billion years. Since its beginning, there have always been constant changes on the planet. Early in Earth's history, most changes were geological or astronomical, but over time, life in the biosphere had become significant drivers of change on our planet. With the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution, the human embrace of a collective growth mindset, and the subsequent emergence of multinational corporations in large-scale international trade, we have become the primary driver of changes to our global home. With an exponentially increasing human population, now approaching 8.4 billion in 2026, the extraction, production, and consumption of fossil fuels, minerals, plastics, and other chemicals have skyrocketed. Our carbon footprint is continuing to rise, and carbon dioxide, methane, and other greenhouse gases are accumulating in our atmosphere and changing local and global climates. The impacts of population on the air, water, and land is observable globally and our collective actions, as well as inaction, are altering ecosystems in the biosphere. The human-caused climate change is occurring, and its impacts are already being felt in vulnerable coastal areas, along ecological boundaries, and in our cities. Major consequences of climate change will be felt around the globe in a matter of decades. Unfortunately, the majority of our governments, corporations, and businesses either ignore the understanding gained through scientific knowledge and computer modeling, pretend to be ignorant of its consequences, or push off action to future generations. They keep on doing business as usual. Growth, growth, growth. Wanting more profits and more control over the market, they go for more production, more consumption, and as a result, greater impact on the Earth's natural systems. The current U.S. leaders side with corporations over future generations of people, favoring ecologically suicidal fossil fuels, oil, fracked gas, and coal, over renewable energy like windmills and photovoltaic solar power. Everything is interconnected in nature. Weather systems, ocean currents, and the cycles of important chemicals, water, nutrients, metals, etc., are all mediated over long time periods by the Earth's geology and make our Earth a unified system capable of nurturing diverse fauna and flora over hundreds of millions of years. But humanity, with our amazing ability to invent and create technological know-how and build huge systems to serve our ever-growing population, has reached a state where we're able to alter the very environment that has enabled our growth. The planetary system has always had ways to balance the short-term ecological changes that we have made in the last 200 years, but they operate over timescales, millions of years, that are inaccessible to us. As a result, we cannot rely on natural cycles to solve the serious problems we have created. We must be proactive to protect society and the natural cycles and systems as we know them. Life on this planet would become hard to sustain in many regions. It would need to be supported by artificial means because of life-threatening storms, huge temperature fluctuations, and large-scale habitat destruction. In this photo essay, we offer a glimpse of our precious planetary home. But having experienced various parts of this beautiful home of ours in real life, we know the limitations of this virtual medium. This visual-only medium, now audio-only, is unable to fully convey the multisensory, magnificent nature of the planet Earth. We want all of us to experience it in real life, because we know that when we've experienced it, we'd love it. And when we love nature, we do all we can to preserve its beauty, its wholesomeness. The next poem, Our Mountain Serenity, written by 15-year-old Christopher Juszczyk from Connecticut. Before his poem, he writes a brief explanation. My name is Christopher Juszczyk, and I am a dual citizen of the U.S. and Poland. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, I enjoyed spending summer vacations in Poland, visiting my relatives and working on my uncle's farm. This summer, I am fortunate to be able to have found the opportunity to visit Poland again, when I will participate in a global community service project where I help children develop their English reading and writing skills. My poem reflects the calming nature of the outdoors that I love and appreciate. I want to stress the beauty and the serenity of nature in my writing. I love the outdoors and spend a great amount of my free time hiking or walking outside. The location that inspired Mountain Serenity was Chauncey Peak in Connecticut, which I hiked during summer. Upon reaching the summit and breathing in the fresh air, I looked into the distance and I was amazed by the surrounding area. I take pictures to memorialize the peaceful feelings of nature. One of the ideas that came to my mind was to create a poster that I could hang in my room. It would put me at peace and bring back the good memories I had while exploring the nature. I would love to share this poster with others who might benefit from the calming and majestic views of nature and my interpretation of moments of serenity. Our Mountain Serenity. Let me take you to a place where gentle winds caress your face, and one feels the distant yet overwhelming smell of pine that warms the mind, where the stones lay weathered along the twisted trails, where the greening bark is rough against your nails, where green pines would loom and radiant flowers would bloom, long emerged from their winter tomb, where the cliffs and boulders that rested for ages, ancient with calcite and mosses collected throughout the stages, where the sky is filled with a constant blue, where the feeling of quietude passes over you, where you hear the sporadic cries of a hawk or the rustling of the undergrowth as a chipmunk would walk, where your lungs would be filled with the purest mountain air as it lifted your heart and rustled your hair, where you could see for miles the aisles that occupy our habitat. The mother tree. There are trees that protect their children no matter the cost. They are called mother trees. They nourish the saplings and keep them safe. Trees warn each other of danger with chemical signals. They mourn the dead of their species, especially if the lifeless tree was a mother tree. Sometimes two trees are so dependent on each other that when one dies, the other dies soon after. Trees make alliances. There are peculiar relations in the Earth's canvas. Fungi connect trees and take nutrients in return. Underground currents, invisible, give life to trees and fungi. Water leaves its trace for a billion years, hydrating all living bodies. Tree groves drink from common fountains. Their roots embrace marine creatures that swam in primitive oceans. Ancient religions worship trees. The world tree that holds up the nine worlds. The tree of life that reminds us how similar we are to other beings. We all need water. Our water. And then there is our thirst for the air that trees so gently gift us. Forgetting our past does not make it less true. We are poisoning our planet. We are choking ourselves. The mother trees pay no mind. They are just trying to survive, to grow pure and true, guiding water to their children, breathing life into the sky. Up next, we have the poem Caged, written by Tara Prakash, age 16, from Maryland. Caged, a burial is taking place, where she will lie forever with a moving element, captured behind the stories her grandmother brought to life, the pungent scent of salt air, the water's kiss as she dove under the surface. It was easy to remember the sense of wilderness that permeated the air, the dappled sunlight bending colors every which way, all the large and tiny details of her stories. It was even harder to forget the way she always began with, once upon a time. Yet her wings fly in the space tomorrow brings. The corals, sea turtles, and organic ocean motion seem to be within reach once again. She flies on the quilted connection of the sea turtles, the regal anglerfish, the manta rays. Her body beats slowly in my palm. Each pulse sent to the ventricles widens the heart chambers a little bit more until soon her heart is as strong as any. Corals woven with shamrock and streaks of fish with vermilion scales swim through my dreams, a distant memory, accompanied always with the promise of a fragmented future. As time hurtles forward, slivers of currents and azures and bursting ocean ecosystems slip through my grasp till only a barren cemetery remains. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. The rhythm of the ceremony pulses beneath my fingers. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. The swell of the northern current awakes my humanity, immersing my soul in the island waters, where first life and memory began. About her poem. Young author Tara Prakash explains, Caged is a poem characterizing the movement of time in the context of climate change. The trapped bird in the cage represents Mother Nature, and I work to bring to life the climate crisis through visuals and details of the impact and repercussions the oceans are receiving. I set the poem in a burial scene, beginning with death and ending with birth. Overall, through this poem, I am trying to convey the urgency and impacts of the climate crisis through the eyes of Mother Nature. Our final poem for today was written by Elodie K. Cotton, grade 7. One Earth. We have a wonderful Earth, and we should try to preserve it so more babies can be birthed and introduced to our Earth, our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Earth. We have a beautiful earth with large green grasslands and rainforests and elegant blue oceans with those always present sea green waves and filled with living beings to support our sweet, sweet earth. There's much knowledge, science, astronomy, mathematics, and they're just a small part of the knowledge on our smart, smart earth. Who knows what we can achieve? All we know is we can go above and beyond. Who knows what more there is for us to discover? Who knows how far we can go? Let us keep on learning and understanding and discovering new ways to protect and preserve nature on our sweet, wonderful, beautiful Earth. Our dear, kind, gentle Earth. Our amazing, sustaining, ever-providing Earth. Our smart, dazzling, awesome Earth. Our Earth. By Elodie K. Cotton, grade 7 from Connecticut. Elodie is also a student intern at Skipping Stones. And with that, that is all the time we have for on Skipping Stones today. This is Amanda Hoagland, volunteer broadcast reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and I thank you so much for joining me today to read some of these beautiful stories, collections, and poetry that these children have written. It is truly beautiful, and what a great thing it is to try to honor nature and preserve it. Join me again next week for more stories from Skipping Stones.